The GAA program with Tom Comack, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Station Roundabout, Letterkenny. Gear up for the next big game from the great range of clubwear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Gee, agus slánte, agus fáilte, agus gí chláir coming out with Class Gael na Seachtain Show with me, Tom Comack, as always coming to you here on a Wednesday night, now and 9 o'clock, and well, we look forward to your company for the next 27 or 28 minutes. We've got another busy programme lined up for you. Ahead of the All-Ireland Club Football or Senior Club Football Championship Super 8s, I'm joined by former Donegal player and former Louth manager Paddy Carr, who lives in Meath. Donegal's man in Cork, Charlie McLaughlin, St. Michael's clubman from Dunfanaghy and highly respected GA coach in the south of the country. Paddy and Charlie will look ahead to this eagerly awaited Super 8s championship. Of course, many people believe that this is when the real All-Ireland Championship series begins, and of course Donegal, Tyrone, all in action this weekend from the northwest. Donegal of course host Meath in McCool Park and Ballybuffet, and we'll be looking forward to that game in particular with Paddy and with Charlie. And of course Kerry and Mayo meet in the big game down in Killarney in the Super 8s this weekend as well. And of course Tyrone are in Hyde Park and Roscommon, where the college champions provide the opposition, and Dublin are at home to Cork in Croke Park. Of course that's a home game for Dublin. Their neutral game is in Croke Park as well. We may discuss that as well. And of course they're down to the quarter-finals in the Hurling Championship as well. Kilkenny and Cork and Tipperary and Joint Killers Laois, of course. Laois had a fantastic victory last weekend, knocking Dublin, highly fancied, out of the championship race. But it's with some very good news for Donegal ladies emerging this morning. In actual fact, with the news that Donegal midfielder Katie Hearn is about to head to Australia to play professionally next season, and she's to join the Western Bulldogs in Melbourne to play in the Australian Ladies Football, National Football League. So I've been speaking to Cathy before she headed out to training this evening. Of course, Donegal in action next weekend in the start of their All-Ireland Championship Series when they play Tyrone in Mullingar. Well, Katie, first of all, delighted you could join us tonight. And of course, the reason why you're talking to you, because you got great news, or we all got very good news today. You're joining the Western Bulldogs in Australia, so you're heading down under.
I am, yeah. That's the plan anyway, all going accordingly. Come November, I'll be heading over to Australia, so really excited. Delighted finally out there. I've been keeping it kind of a half secret for a long time there, so delighted now I can just talk about it. So.
Yeah, you've known for some time.
I have, yeah. I've known for a good number of weeks. I personally didn't want it out a couple of weeks ago when we were focusing on the championship and the Ulster Championship, so I didn't want a distraction for the girls or for myself, so the club were very good in keeping it for me. So at least now we can push on.
And tell me, how did it all come about?
Well, I suppose the Crosscoders, the group that initially were involved with Yvonne and the other Irish girls that are over there.
That's Yvonne Bonner, of course.
Yes, they held a camp in Athlone there a couple of months back, and they kind of make up a player profile off you and send it off to all the clubs over in Australia, and from there they decide if they have any interest in any of the players. And the Western Bulldogs actually contacted me before the camp to say that I was one of their top picks, and they wanted to kind of see more footage of me and stuff. So I got talking to the head coach there, and he seemed to like what he seen, and kind of just went from there, spiraled quite quickly now, to be fair.
They've been watching you for some time, had they?
Yeah, and then they wanted to see more games then, just to kind of keep an eye out. And that all happened over the space of a couple of days, and then I heard nothing, so I kind of didn't know where I stood for a good while. But I suppose there's no panic over there.
Yeah, because it was the close season at that time, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly, and they still have till the end of the summer to sign people, so they were in no hurry, but they left Irish players sitting waiting. So I just got the call before that camp, actually, the night before the camp, to say that they were sending a contract through, so I was over the moon.
Yeah, and tell me, it's like full-time professional, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, it's full-time professional, but it's only, the season is only, say, 5-6 months of the year. So their season is quite short, so it links in well. I'd say that's why it kind of suits some of the Gaelic players, because they can go November and they're back kind of mid-March, April. So at the minute now it's expanding a good bit, and there's 4 new teams in this year, so that'll stretch it slightly, but they're hoping it won't affect it too much then date-wise.
Yeah, because it's a relatively new competition, isn't it?
Yeah,
or a new league as well, yeah.
Yeah, this is maybe the 3rd year now, and it's expanding huge over the 3 years, so it's getting great success over there.
And have you been out to Australia?
No, I haven't travelled much now, to be fair.
No, you weren't out with the club or anything, no?
No, just the camp. I met a few of them at the camp. One of the co-founders of the Crosscoders, Lauren Spark, actually plays with Bulldogs, so it was good to get to meet her and kind of find out a few bits and pieces about the club, so that was nice.
And have you been talking to Yvonne since your teammate? I know she's with the, what, great what, Western...
She's with the Giants, yeah.
In Sydney.
Over in Sydney, yeah. Yeah, chatting to Yvonne a good bit whenever I had first heard, obviously, to get her feedback on her experiences and to see how it went for her, and she was obviously delighted, and probably would have been better if we got the same club, but we weren't going to take any chances and try for that, so... That was brilliant. Yvonne gave me loads of good advice and just kind of told me the run of things over there. So it's nice to have that wee bit of information and have somebody to go to that I know quite well.
So. Yeah, so you're going to be on opposite sides now. That's
opposite sides. I will be taking each other out of it now next year.
And there's quite a few good girls, Irish girls out there now.
Yeah, there is a good. There's actually, I'm the 13th now, and that's including all the girls that went last year. So I was the 13th player there. Today, which is growing. I think there was 4 or 5 last year, so there was a good few more this year. Now it's been selected. There's a few from Mayo and Galway, and Anya Tai is going over as well from Leitrim. So it's nice to see those girls going over as well.
I know it's early days yet, or it's early hours yet since the news broke. What's been the reaction?
It's been huge. I told obviously the county girls I want them to hear from me first, and a few of my close friends, but a lot of other people only heard from the first time, so the phone's been pretty hot and heavy today, which is nice to see. It's lovely to see the support that people are giving you and how happy they are for you to take an opportunity like this, so I'm delighted.
Yeah, and is it your intention to go out and just play for the season and come back, or are you going to stay for a while, or what's the...
No, probably out and straight back. Obviously with Joshua, I have a wee boy, 7, so he'll be coming for a bit of the time, and then I'll need to come back to get him back into school. I don't want him to miss too much. So,
so you'll be having the turkey and the sun.
Exactly.
And obviously that's good news from a Donegal point of view, because you won the Ulster title for a third time, fourth time and all for yourself personally to win an Ulster title, and about to commence your All-Ireland Championship bid this week or next weekend.
Yeah, listen, Donegal's always the team you want to be playing for. It's your home county, and that's where your biggest pride lies. So hopefully I'll be getting back for the season next year. You would hate to miss out a year. I've been there now since 2010 and been there through all the highs and all the lows, and there's been many lows as well, so that's something you wouldn't want to walk away from. I don't want to end my career playing a foreign sport, so to speak. So I'll take the opportunity and then hopefully get back in the green and gold.
Yeah, but obviously you're going out on I think it's what they call it, a rookie contract, is it? But as we see with Yvonne, she's been following up with a full contract for next season.
Yeah, so it's like every club gets to take 2 rookies for a team. It's kind of just the baseline. It's players who haven't played the sport before. So every club has 2 spots for that. And then obviously if you play for a year and they do a review at the end, they may offer you a contract for the following year, but there's still that break and play from April to the following November at the minute. So.
Yeah, and obviously there's quite a lot of different rules, but obviously the one big is the oval ball or the rugby style football. That's something you're going to have to get used to, but I suppose you're not going to start getting used to that just yet.
No, I don't want to lose my touch with the Gaelic ball. listen, there's a lot of rules. You'd be watching some of the games and it's very hard to pick up on some of them, but there's plenty of time for that. Listen, there'll be no panic. I did have a few sessions with the oval ball down at the camp and stuff, and it's kind of fairly easy enough to get the hang of once you're practicing and focusing on something, so there'll be time enough for that after the Donegal season comes to an end.
So when do you head out?
So it's looking like the first week in November. They're waiting for final dates yet. So they're kind of just getting the wheels in motion.
And when does the season? When does it? Because that'll be in for out for pre-season. When does the season actually start?
The end of January or mid-January. That's what it was last year. It was the last week in January, I think. So it'll probably be roughly the same. Probably the middle.
And
of
it
January.
Runs then until.
Runs to probably the first or second week in April.
Brilliant. So it's short and snappy. Obviously, the pre-season is going to be the difficult part.
Yeah, it'll just be interesting to see the kind of difference in the loads they do and what we're doing at home. So it'll be a good learning curve. It's good to see what other teams are doing, especially in a professional setup. So that's something I'm really looking forward to.
So that's great. We're delighted for you and congratulations again. And just finally, before you let you go, as we say, looking forward to playing Tyrone now in the first of the All-Ireland series next weekend down in Mullingar. How is those preparations going?
Yeah, really good. Obviously, we met Tyrone in the first round of the championship and they probably thought they got a wee edge in on us at stages in that game. So we'll be really focused this time around to make our mark. There's a group there with them and Mayo, and it's a group that we'll be looking to top. So we just need to get our heads settled and make sure we're focused for when the two games come around. There are two weekends in a row back to back. So something we're really looking forward to. We've been playing good football and we're hoping that will continue. So we're
best of luck next week and in the championship and also we'll be talking to you more often. Maybe you may come in some night before you go into the programme here. But the best of luck in Australia when you get there as well.
No bother.
That's Katie Hearn there speaking to me earlier this evening. Of course, Katie training tonight for Donegal Ladies. They're playing Tyrone, as we heard there, next weekend in the first of their All-Ireland qualifiers. That game is down in Mullingar. But our focus tonight for the rest of the programme is very much on the Super 8s, the All-Ireland Championship race for Sam Maguire, which in many people's eyes began just this weekend. And well, shortly we'll be joined by former Donegal player and Louth manager Paddy Carr, of course, who lives in Meath, and Donegal's man in Cork, former St Michael's and former Donegal minor in actual fact, Charlie McLaughlin, of course, highly respected coach in Cork and involved with a lot of Cork teams. We'll be getting the view from the south and obviously particular interest in Group 1 where Donegal, Meath, Kerry and Mayo are pitted against each other. Some interesting games coming up over the next 4 weeks.
The GAA programme with Tom Comack. Brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Station Roundabout, Letterkenny. Gear up for the next big game from the great range of clubwear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Walter Rash with me, Tom Comack and Jimmy Stafford on sound here tonight until 9 o'clock. And as always, delighted you could join us. We heard before the break there, Katie Hearn, who is heading to Australia in November to play professionally for the Western Bulldogs in Melbourne in the Australian Football League. Well, the focus is very much on the Super 8s in the All-Ireland Senior Championship race, which begins this weekend. I'm delighted to see him joined by former Donegal player Paddy Carr, of course, former Louth manager and managed Meath Miners and a host of club teams, including Kilmacud Croke. So very good night to you, Paddy.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm good, and I know obviously you have strong fan and connections as well, and I know you're looking forward to this weekend's game and the Super 8s, particularly Donegal and Meath. But before we chat to you about that, we'll also say hello to Charlie McLaughlin. I think we've got Charlie somewhere on the road between Dublin and Cork, I think, pulled in a lay-by on his way back down to the Lee side after spending some time in Donegal. Good night to you, Charlie.
How are you, Tom?
Ah, yeah, you're good. We got you. And obviously, Charlie, we're looking forward to the championship. And I know a great Donegal supporter, even though you're domiciled down in the, as they say, the real capital down south for some time. But first of all, Paddy, what do you think of the Super 8s? You know, a lot of people say it's when the championship begins.
Look, it's an exceptional situation to be looking forward to the 8 teams that are now presently in the championship. I mean, if you look at those teams, you know, Donegal and Dublin obviously have set such a headwind there with them, and yet all of the other teams, Roscommon, I mean, an exceptional performance there right through Connacht this year. But if you look now at Tyrone and Meath coming, you know, recovering from the mauling that they got in Croke Park with a really good win there last Sunday, and Kerry there in the long grass, Mayo now, you know, coming with momentum as well. Like, all of those eight teams have so much to look forward to. It's just a brilliant time of the year, and I certainly think that there's some flavour now to these games that are coming up in the coming weeks.
Do you like the format of the Super 8s?
I certainly do. Look, it's like everything else. It's you know, there's a lot of courage on the part of the GAA to try the new format. I think it's self-evident that both the strong and the form teams are the ones that have come to the top. And like, when you get fascinating fixtures, Tyrone heading down to Dr. Hyde Park, Meath heading for Ballybuffet. At this stage, a championship match Ballybuffet, McCool Park would be a cauldron there at the weekend. Mayo having to head down to Fitzgerald Stadium. It's tremendous. And then, two traditional powers of football, Dublin and Cork, meeting as well. It's so much to look forward to.
And Charlie, what do you make of the Super 8? What do you make of the championship so far?
I'd be very happy with it, Tom. I think there's been some fantastic football games. I know Ulster has been very good, and maybe the final might have been a wee bit. Ulster final might have been a wee bit one-sided, and maybe Tyrone don't look as good as they did against Cavan, because I thought Donegal certainly flattened Cavan and kind of knocked them back a peg or two, and it was hard to recover from that. But the championship itself, I would be very happy with it. Great Munster final. Great Connacht final, great Ulster final, and I was listening to the Leinster game, and apparently if Meath took our scores, it'd be a very tight game with Dublin. So I'd be very happy with the championship. They're all talking about hurling last year, and we love the hurling, and it is fantastic. But certainly the football has caught up this year, and it's been I've been delighted with it now.
Are the eight best teams true?
They are the eight best teams. You know, Dublin are still out in front, and I do think they're being caught up with a wee bit, because I look at their backs, with the exception of Jack McCaffrey, they're all freaking 30, and they don't seem to have defenders coming through. Kerry's maybe a wee bit the same boat. Defenders are hard to find, and Donegal seem to have good defenders. And Tyrone are always freaking well set up anyway, with their system to play, doing back to the old ways again the last day, and it certainly worked for them. Mm.
And tell me about your adopted county. A lot of people talking them up as maybe dark horses.
They were 5 points up on us at half time, Tom, below and Parky Ring. Now, we won that match, probably we were the better team at the end of the day, but Since that game, up until the Munster final, when they played very well after the first 10 minutes, they had beaten Dublin, they had beaten Roscommon, they had hammered Galway 3-26. That's pretty against Galway. They beat Dublin by 6. They beat Roscommon 16-110. They beat Laois 3-18-217. You know, they hadn't lost.
That was in challenge games pre-championship, was it?
They were challenge games, and there was, like, you can say they're only challenge games, but really, they are important games at that time of the year.
These games kind of are behind closed doors now, and it's helter-skelter.
I was at the Dublin game. It was supposed to be behind closed doors, but I found a way in. and I thought they played very well against Dublin. Very well. Dublin was short 5 now. They'd be 5. Dublin could replace 5. Jack McCaffrey was one of them. You wouldn't replace him easily. Brian Fenton had played a game 2 days earlier. He didn't really play that well, but yeah, we all know him on big days, what he's like. But Cork certainly beat them by 12 points. And I thought they played some very good football.
And Paddy, Dublin, are Dublin still the team to beat for you as well?
Well, look, I think it's self-evident that Dublin are the powerhouse team. I mean, they are still at this stage of the year pretty much untested. It has been one of the big, I suppose, disappointments in the recent years, of the fact that the Leinster Championship, you know, what used to produce, when the Offalys were there and Kildare were there, and, you know, Meath Dublin was always such an exceptional game that everyone wanted. I was speaking to one of the greats of Meath football there just a couple of days ago, John McDermott, and he was mentioning it. Indeed, it was just before the Clare game, and he was saying like that the Mead players of old, would you have wanted to be a man of the match in the Leinster final against Dublin, or man of the match in an All-Ireland final? And for all was the Mead players against Dublin. That was the big game. And I suppose, you know, in terms of the balance of football, I think, you know, people would love to see that come back into Leinster football. But what is interesting, Tom, there is, certainly to my mind, the way in which even Donegal are being talked up at the moment, and it is now something, I suppose, that Declan and the good men around him have to handle that level of expectation. But to my mind, I've seen all the Donegal games this year, and what I think is really very interesting in terms of the kind of balance vis-a-vis how they can truly rate with Dublin. I have over the years been very involved, obviously, with Kilmacud and Ballymun. I know a lot of those Dublin footballers intimately, and I know their strengths. And one of the things that's very clear, people talk about the collective ability of the team and all, but the game at the moment, you know, in terms of just football and ability, the behind all of that is the incredible pace and athleticism that there is in the way that the ball can be transferred so quickly from one area to the other. And I honestly believe, and from what I've seen this year, that Donegal are well up there. Look at the balance of the Donegal football team at the moment, the amount of experience that there is. And, you know, you have the likes of Paddy McGrath there and Neil McGee there in at full-back, in the full-back line. And yet then you look to the other end of the field, and, the you know, with Paddy McBrearty coming back in there and Michael Murphy. And yet in between all of that, you have a tremendous pace and athleticism. I mean, watching Donegal up there in Clonus and the amount of ball that they were winning, the amount of ball that they won against Tyrone, it was all about that type of athleticism. And I you know, really have to commend Declan and that whole team in and around them now, because what they have done is, it's very evident that they have a good game plan going, but I think within that game plan there's enough confidence in the Donegal lads to actually play with that type of freedom and somewhat that kind of controlled abandon. So I think a lot of the pundits are very correct in saying that if Donegal can manage the young Donegal players, there's so much pace there in around the middle of the field, and I think if they can manage that the level of expectation that's there, I think there's going to be a few more twists in this championship big time.
And tell me, talk to me about Mead.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, Mead have been somewhat in the doldrums over the last number of years, and I know that there has been a lot of good work. I obviously live down and I see firsthand what's been happening there in Mead, and there's a lot of good work being done there. And I suppose like that, the team that is taking the field at the moment would very much carry the same type of character of the likes of Andy, and indeed I know Jerry McEntee is in there with his brother, and that exceptionally hard working and enormous energy going into the performance. I mean, anyone who's following the football know that they gave Donegal two very fine games of football in the league and then in the Division 2 final. But I think that they're a dangerous animal at the moment, Mead are, because the relief, the huge disappointment with the non-performance of their forwards against Dublin the last day, it now means that by getting into the Super 8s, that was a huge goal for them this year, and they can actually come and throw off the shackles in Ballybuffet. Everything else is a bonus for them, so that frees guys up. And I think at this stage, you know, the strength of mind and the mindset of teams are going to be huge. It would be, I think, a very, very close encounter, I believe, is on the cards this coming weekend in Ballybuffet. Like, they again have young Donald Keoghan, Pádraig Harnan, these, you know, they've an exceptionally good half-back line. And, you know, Donegal will have to be very, very much on the front foot, and it will demand a big, big performance from Donegal at the weekend.
Mm. Are you giving me the chance of making the All-Ireland semi-final, or is that too big a leap of faith?
No, I would. I would honestly think that I know that Mead would see where they are at the moment as a big bonus. But I just think that that group that they're actually in, that the the run team's very, very close. I think it's going to come down to the other three teams in the group to make the All Ireland semi final.
In Cork, talk to me about Donegal and Mead. What do you make of Donegal this year?
Sorry, Tom.
Yeah. Sorry, what do you make of Donegal this year and Sunday's game?
I've seen all the games and I meet with Declan quite regular and I think as a management team, they're a very shrewd bunch. They have a young fella I'd love to see, but it's a wee bit early for him, Gillespie from Gador. I watched him underage, class player. This fella would really tie up the centre-back spot. It's a spot that we're maybe a wee bit short on, but other teams are short too on it. I think they're excellent. I think young Patton is the best goalkeeper I've seen for years. Paddy McGrahan, Neil McGee, Steve McManaman. Like, this Donegal panel, as a panel, there's 32, I think, on the panel. There's 22 of them under 25 years of age. Some of them are maiden names already, and I'm sure Declan will forgive me for saying that. But these guys have to keep their heads down, and there was the Jason McGee's and the Michael Langens and the Jamie Brennan's, like Michael Murphy, Paddy McBrearty, Hugh McFadden playing out of his skin, learning about the game every day, Owen Bann. I was talking to Damien O'Hagan in Tyrone last week and he said if I had money to buy a player, I'd buy Owen Bann above all other players in the country. He says he's just freaking untouchable the way he plays the game.
And quickly Charlie, the qualifiers from the group, Donegal, Meath, or Donegal, Kerry, or Mayo?
I think Donegal and Kerry, and I would think on the other side, I would go for Dublin, and I would go hesitantly for Cork. That's a very tight group.
Charlie, unfortunately, this music tells us in the background that we've got to go. My thanks to Charlie McLaughlin, to Paddy Carr, to Katie Hearn, and to Jimmy Stafford, as usual, on sound. Good evening, Shocklin, Slogan, and me, Tom Cormack, Slán agus Bannacht.